Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Chaf Dalet, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Gimel Amad Beis. But before we begin, I want to say that today's daf is being learnt Le'ilu Nishmas Chana Bas Yaakov Yosef, who is Ezi Stavsky's grandmother, also Chesky Eider's great aunt. I just want to thank Ezi for sponsoring coffee this week. Either way, her neshama should have an aliyah. Tanu Rabbanan. So we now return to our regular program, which is the sugyas of Yesh Noichlin, particularly the halacha that a bechor is noitel pishnayim. So yesterday, the Gemara had a shayla. When we say that a bechor is noitel pishnayim, does it mean that he just gets an extra portion? So for example, if a man dies and leaves over five sons, instead of dividing the estate into five, you divide it into six, and the bechor is going to get two chalakim instead of one. So he'll take double what each one of the brothers respectively are going to get. Or does bechor noitel pishnayim mean that the bechor always has to get double what all the other brothers combined are going to get? So all the brothers would get their chalik. You would add it all up and divide it in a way where we make sure that the bechor's yerusha will be at a 2-to-1 ratio to what everybody else is getting. From there we digress into a whole daf Gemara of Agadita, specifically because one of the rayas the Gemara brought to be poshut that shayla was from Yosef. Yaakov told Yosef, Ephraim u'Menashe keruvein v'shimon yili, and the Gemara says that the reason Yosef got two chalakim in Eretz Yisrael is because Yosef was the bechor. Reuven was the bechor, but ki chalalta al yitzir yoviv, because of the avera of ayishkav as bila, it's for that reason Yaakov took the bechor away from Reuven, gave it to Yosef, and you see that Yosef got shchem echad. He got an extra chalik. It wasn't just the chalik of Yosef; it was Ephraim and Menashe. He didn't get double what everybody else got. He just got an additional shchem, an additional chelik. So from there, we will push it our shayla. Either way, we also got a beautiful daf out of it. A lot of gishmakere, dvarim neflon from the chidah, the ramah, the megadim chadashim. But for today, we return to the sugyas of bechor. So the pasuk regarding bechor says, ki es bechor ben asnu yakir losis loy pishnayim bechol asher yimotze loy. And from here, we see two important halachas regarding Yerushas HaBechor. Number one, losses like Pishnayim. The idea that a Bechor gets Pishnayim. Additionally, the pasuk says, Bechor Lashe Yimotze Loi. The Bechor gets Pishnayim of his father's estate, of everything that was Yimotze Loi. And we learn from there, something that was Motzoi. Something that the father was Muchzik in, something that he had. Thus, Eina Bechor Noitel Beroi. So if a father dies and he leaves over a physical possession, an asset that he had in his rishos at the time that he died, the halach is the bechor is going to get pishnayim of. If, however, he died and wasn't muchzik in this possession at the time that he died, even though it's pashit, that when he gets it, it goes over the yerusha to his children, but the particular detail in Hilchas Nachlis of Bechor Noitel Pishnayim, that doesn't apply. It's Gzeres HaKasa. The Bechor only gets Pishnayim on something that was Muchzik to the father at the time of the Petira of the father, but something that wasn't Muchzik, something that was only Ro'i, it was potential. It was something that was gonna be eventually in the Rishos of the father, but it wasn't physically in his Rishos at the time that he died, that's going to be excluded from the halacha of Pishnayim. So today's daf is going to expound on this halacha. Tanu Rabbanan, Abachor Neitel Pishnayim Bezroya Ubelechayim Ubekeva. If a man dies, he was a Kohen, thus he was entitled to Matnas Kahuna. And he had a Zroya Lechayim and Keva. Those were some of the Matnas Kahuna that a person gave a Kohen when he shechted any ordinary animal, even Chulin. You would have to give the Zroya, the Lechayim, and the Keva. So the Halach is, if a Kohen dies, he gives it over Beirusha to his children. Not just that, the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. Ubim Mukdashin. If a man dies and he leaves over Hektish, the Bechor gets Pishnayim in the Hektish. The Gemara is going to explain all this. Additionally, if the father dies, leaves over an asset, and that asset appreciates after the father died. So even though that appreciation wasn't existent at the time of the father's Petira, it's something that came later. It was Shvach Sheshivchu Nechasim La'achar Misa Saviyan. But given certain criteria, the halacha is, we're going to view it not as Ra'oi, we're going to view it as muchzik, and the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. Ketzad, working backwards, this last halach in the Braisa. That shvach sheshivchu nechasam la'acham misa saviyam, even though it wasn't there at the time of the Petir, still the Bechar is going to get Bishnaim. Explain that a little bit. Says the Gemara, Nichlam avim parim buchkeres umuskeres b'yad acherim. If a man died and he left over a para, and this para was rented out, it was leased out to somebody, or it wasn't leased out, he owned it, and it just so happened to have been at the time out in the public area where the animals would graze, the yolda, and afterwards the animal gave birth. The Gemara is going to explain why we have to get into where the animal was. If it was leased out, or if it was punk grazing in some public park, does that really matter? So the Gemara will explain that. But for now, a man died, he left over a para, the yolda, and now the para gave birth. So the halach is, b'char netel pishnayim. Even though the baby wasn't alive at the time that the father died, but it's still considered muchsik regarding the halachas of Ashi Yimatziloi, regarding the halachas of Pishnaim. And the reason is because being that it comes b'memela, that's the punchline of this braisa, being that it comes on its own, nothing has to happen in order for the animal to give birth. A pregnant child is going to give birth as long as everything follows smoothly. That's the derech hateva. It's something that's going to happen b'memela. So even though the baby wasn't born, but we look at it as if it was already muchsik, and the halachas, the Bechar is going to get Pishnaim from that baby. Let's say a man dies, and after he dies, the Yorshim, the Yosayimim, go, they built houses, they planted vineyards, and they did it all with the possessions that they Yorshim. There the halach is, that's a classic example of Roi, not Mochzik, because even though everything came from the possessions of the father, but it didn't come b'memela. It was something that required intervention. It was something that required the work. So if it happens b'memela, like a pregnant animal giving birth, so there the halach is, the Bechar is going to get Pishnaim. Because even though the baby wasn't born yet, but it was going to come b'memela, so we view it as muchsik. We don't view it as roi. If it's something that requires physical intervention, such as banu batim, natu kramim, that we view as ra'oi, we don't view that as muchzik. Dir da halach is ein b'char neitel pishnayim, says the Gemara. Going back to the beginning of the Braisa. The beginning of the Braisa said, ha b'char neitel pishnayim b'zroya u'b'leichayim u'b'keba. Hai ha'zroya v'leichayim b'keba heichadami. What's the case? Ida asu de'avuyin, is it talking about where the father already had the zroya l'chayim and keba? He has it, it's in his refrigerator, pshita. Now what's the Chiddush? It's no different than anything else he has in his refrigerator, where it's mochzik, the Bechar should get Pishnayim. V'idolo yasuk de'avuyon, and if it's talking about where the father didn't get it yet, ro'oi hu v'ein ha'bechar noyte b'ro'oi k'va mochzik. So manavshach, if the father has it, pshito. And if the father doesn't have it, it's just something that somebody may decide to give him. So if somebody may decide to give him, that's a classic roi. So the Bechar shouldn't be able to get Pishnayim. Says the Gemara Hachav of Makire Kuhuna Askinan. What we're talking about is Makire Kuhuna Ude Ishtechit Bechaye De Avuhoi. And it's talking about an animal that was already slaughtered. It was Geshachten when the father was alive. Vikasavar Matane Shaloi Hormu Kimisha Hormu Damu. So three Aikimtas. Two Aikimtas in terms of what the story was, and one Aikimta in Halacha. Number one, Hacha b'Makir Eikuna Skinis. Makir Eikuna is a very important insight. It's a big Chiddush that comes up in different places in Shas. And that is, we're talking about a Koyein who had certain clients, so to speak, people that he knew he can rely on. This was recurring business. They used to always give him their matnas kahuna, which is something you're allowed to do. He can't demand it, he can't be tevayed, but for 15 years, this guy has always been giving him his royal lechaim and keva. What happens is, from a halachic standpoint, we are able to anticipate, being that 15 years they're giving it to him, presumably this year he's going to give it as well, and there's certain chayshem mishpat tzchusim, certain rights that the father already has. So we're talking about not just an ordinary Israel lechaim b'keva. We're talking about Israel lechaim b'keva that falls into the category makirei kahuna. So that even though the father never got it, it's not in his refrigerator, but it's coming, and it's more than just ra'oi, because it's makirei kahuna. He's been getting it every year. And this is a detail in halacha where makirei kahuna will impact something. We'll say that being that it's makirei kahuna, we could look at it as if already has. But you can't just say makirei kahuna. You have to say it's somewhere where the animal was already shachet. Because if the animal wasn't shachet yet, it could be makirei kahuna from today till tomorrow. Maybe he's not going to shach the animal. You have to be able to see up a certain muchzik in the zroya l'chayim and keba. So it's talking about when the animal is already shachut, and the reason why makirei kohuna and the shtachet b'chay de'avuyin, those are the two akintas as far as the story goes. The reason it creates a halacha that the Bechar will get Pishnayim is because the Tana holds matonos shaloi hurmu kemisha hurmu damu. So even though the Zroi l'chayim b'keva weren't physically taken from this animal that was shachut, but it's kamisha hurmu damo. Once it's kamisha hurmu, it's as if it was separated. Now we say makir guna, it's as if the kohen already has it. If the kohen already has it, we could look at it as mochzik. It's a little bit of a lumdish idea, but again, it's made up of two akimtas. Akimta number one, makir guna. Akimta number two, they already shechted the animal. They weren't merim yet. He didn't separate the Zorah L'chaim B'keva, but matanais shalei hormu is kemisha hormu damu. It's as if it was separated. It's as if it was given to the Kohen because it's makir kuna. That's why it's considered muchzik. The bechor would get pishnayim. Mukdashim, the next halach in the Braisa was that a bechor gets pishnayim of hektish. Said the Gemara, lavdideinenu. Why should the bechor yarshin Kachem at all? Kachem doesn't belong to the Makdish. When somebody's Makdish, somebody has a para, says, I want this para to be Hekdish. At that point, he loses Bailus. Amir Legvaya is Kemesir Lahedit. What does that mean? Amir Legvaya Kemesir Lahedit. Just like that, I would give it to a Hedit. I would sell it to somebody. I would give it to somebody as a Matana. That's what Amir Legvaya is. Making something Hekdish is the equivalent thereof of doing that. So once somebody's Makdish something, it's Kemesir, it's not his. So it's no different than if the Bechor's father would have sold it. Now the Bechor can't Yarshin it. When he's Makdish it, it's not in his Rishus anymore. If it's not in his Rishus, how could the son get it? Says the Gemara, the same teretz it always gives whenever it finds itself between this rock and a hard place. Every time the Gemara finds itself in this predicament, where you have a situation of hektish, and the Gemara's kasha is, doesn't Amir L'Gvaya Kimsir L'Hedyet mean that the Bala Hektish doesn't own the Hektish anymore? Says the Gemara, but Kachim Kalim, we're talking about not Kachim Kedashim. Kachim Kalim, Balibid Rabbi Yisayak Lili, the Amar Mamim Bailim. Rabbi Yisayak Lili holds in Shas that Kachim Kalim is Mamim Bailim. Time you learn to the Brayis of Mal, Mal Bashem, the Rabbis Kachim Kalim, Shehim Mamim Bailim, Divrei Rabbi Yisayak Lili. So the Gemara doesn't elaborate on it right now in Kamakoymai, but Kachim Kalim, Alibid Rabbi Yisayak Lili is always the Hechitimtza, that's the answer to the riddle. That's how it's always possible for a person to be makdish something and still be deemed the owner. Rabbi Yisrael really holds a man could be makadish and isha with kachem kaila because it's mama baila, belongs to him. It's no different than anything else. Thus, in this hilchas nachlis, the bechor would get pishnayim. Nichla mevi and paru mukeres miyad acherim. Oisha oisa roya be'efer v'yol the bechor neitel pishnayim. So the Braisa said the halacha that the only time we view something as ra'oi is if the profit, the appreciation that's going to come later, is going to require some intervention. But if it happens, b'memela, such as a pregnant animal that gives birth, that we view as muchzik, we don't view it as roi, the bechor is going to get pishnayim. And the example that the Braisa gave was, if somebody had a parah, it was leased out, it was muhkeres and muskeres, or it was just grazing in some public area, v'yolda, bechor is going to get pishnayim. Freik, the gemar, hashta, muhkeres and muskeres, la b'shus of the mar, the dukaim, madach, the case where it's muhkeres and muskeres, where it's not in the reshus of the owner, which by the way, when we say it's not in the reshus of the owner, we don't mean from a halachic standpoint, because pikadon kol hecha de isa b'shus of the mar isa, but we mean physically, practically, right now, it's leased out. It's not in your reshus. Amit halach is shakel. Still, the bechor gets pishnayim, even though this parah wasn't in the reshus of the father. When the father died, it was leased out. So roya be'efer, where it wasn't leased out, it's just out in the yard somewhere. It's in a public area, mibaya. So certainly he should get it. Meaning, why is the Braisa telling me this halacha by where it was leased out, or it's grazing in a public area? Just tell me the point. The point is, if the shvach comes b'meila, then the halacha is the bechor is going to get pishnayim. Says the gemara, hakam ashmon. You know, we're adding those details. The muhkeres and muskeres do me the roi be'efer. You want to tell us a halacha that a para that's leased out is similar to a para that's roi be'efer? How so? Ma roi be'efer shvach b'meila ka'asi v'leik chasu b'mezayna. Just like roi be'efer, when the animal is grazing in a public area, it's not costing the owner anything because it's eating from the fat of the land. It's eating food that's hefker. So there's absolutely zero expense, zero overhead right now to the owner in order for this animal to be able to eat. Af muhkeres and muskeres shvachet b'meilek ha'asir. The only time the halach is going to be that if a father dies, he leaves over a parah that was muhkeres and muskeres. V'yolda, the halach is that the bechor is going to get pishnayim. It's only if the lease agreement read as such that the father is not going to have any responsibility to feed this parah. But if the father was the one that was responsible to feed it, so then even though the leda, the child was born by memela, but feeding it, that expense, that overhead, is viewed as some intervention, something that the father had to do. So it makes it not a shvacha de memela. It's like banu batin. Fenotu Kramim, it's not considered muhsik, it's considered roy. There the halach is, the Bukhar is not going to get pishnayim. So it's true. The idea is anytime the shvach comes, bimameila, the Bukhar gets pishnayim. We don't look at it as roy, we look at it as muhsik. If it requires work to be done, then we view it as roy, we don't view it as muhsik. A classic example of where we would view it as muhsik, not roy, is if it had a child, it was yold. The Braisa told it to us in a slightly long-winded way, Muhkeres, Muskeres, Ayroy, but if it tell me one halacha, that the only time it's true where Yolda is viewed as a Shvach Mimela is if you don't have to feed the animal. But if you would even have to feed it just to get it to the point where it's going to be healthy enough to have a child, so that already would be considered like Banu Batav and Atu Kramim, it would turn it from a Muhsik into a Ra'oy. Says the Gemara, Mani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? This braisa that said that even though in b'char noitel pishnayim b'roi ki b'muchzik, that's only if this roi is something that's not going to come to b'meila. But if it's going to come to b'meila, such as a par of the older, dear the halacha is you do get pishnayim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi, the time you went to the braisa in b'char noitel pishnayim b'shvach sheshivchun uchazon lach amizis avir. The b'char never gets pishnayim for any appreciation of the assets la'ach amizis avir. Never. It doesn't matter how it appreciated. If it was b'meila, if it wasn't b'meila. The Tanakam in this price holds, you never ever get Pishnayim. Rabbi says, Oimrani Ichal, Bchar noit Pishnayim Bishvach Sheshvichu Bchazal Lacha Mises Avir. No, the Bchar does get Pishnayim. Avaloi Bishvach Sheshvichu Yusoyimim Lacha Mises Avir. The difference is, were the Nechasim themselves what was Mashpiach, or did it require the Yusoyimim to do it, which is the Tana of our Braisa. Yolda, the Nechasim itself was Mashpiach. Over there, the Bechar does get Pishnayim. It's only if the Yisayimim did it. Banu Batim, not to Kromim. Thus, who is the Tana of this Braisa? It's Rebbe. Rebbe continued, or the Braisa continues, Yarshu Shtar Chayv. If brothers Yarshu Shtar Chayv, that's an accounts receivable. They have a Shtar Chayv. Somebody owed their father. There was some promissory note that said that somebody owed their father money. Bechar noit to Pishnayim. Bechar gets Pishnayim. Yotza Aleim Shtar Chayv. What if, to the contrary, what if the father left over liabilities? Liabilities that the children are responsible to satisfy. B'char noisim pishnayim. It goes both ways. B'char is noitel pishnayim, that we all know. But the b'char is also noisim pishnayim in the event that there are liabilities. I mean, if he says, any noisim, any noitel. Let's say the b'char says, you know something? I don't want to get involved in this mess. I don't want the pishnayim. I don't want to have to give the pishnayim. Rashoy, he's allowed to do it. Says the Gemara. My tamayu de rabbanan. So, again, our braisa said a halacha that even though Bukhar is doesn't take beroy ki b'muchzik b'chol hasheyim matzei loy, only something that's muchzik, but that's true only if the appreciation that came later didn't come from him. But if it came from Meila, that's viewed as imatzila, it's viewed as muchzik. There the halacha is that the b'char is going to get pishnayim. And the braisa we see it, shitas Rebbe. But really the chachamim argue. So we have a machlekes, Rebbe and the chachamim. My tamayu derabbanan. Oh my God, the pasuk says, lase is loy pishnayim. Matana kari rechmon. The Torah referred to pishnayim as a matana. So ma matana de matali yod, just like a gift. You can't give somebody a gift if you don't have it. Let's say you're going to get something. In 3 months, you're going to have something. I hear. So in 3 months, give the person the gift of the thing you're going to get, if you so choose to do. But I can't give a gift to somebody today for something that I don't have today. Even if I'm going to have it one day, and even if when I have it, it's going to come to Mamela. It doesn't matter. Haint, I don't have it. Haint, I can't give it as a gift. So the Chachamim say that the Torah referred to Pishnayim as a matana. Yerusha is not usually viewed as a matana. Yerusha has its own subcategory in terms of how it transfers from father to son. It's not Mekachamemkar. But it's also not Matana. What is it? It's Yerusha. It's its own separate Shulchan Aruch, its own separate subcategory. But the Pishnayim, the Torah used the word Matana. Loseis loy. Loseis is Miloshen Matana. Matana kari rachman. It's not Matana, adamat liyode. Just like a Matana, you can't give to somebody else until you yourself have it. Av chelik b'chayro. So to the chelik b'chayro, adamat liyode. Rebbe Yoimer, Rebbe said, oh my God, the pasuk says, Pishnayim. It says that when the b'char gets, he gets Pishnayim. Makish chelik b'chayro, l'chelik pashut. His double portion. We view the Iker, the principal part of what he's supposed to get, what he would get even if he wasn't a Bechar, to the add-on, to the extra portion, the Shechem Echad, that he's going to get as well. A Machelik Pashut, Afagafli Matul Yadeh, just like the Chelik Pashut, he gets, even if it wasn't Matul Yadeh. Why? Because a regular Yoyresh does Yarshin, Beroy Kibemuchzik, Afchelik Bechayra, Afagafli Matul Yadeh. So to the Chelik Bechayra, there are times where he'll Yarshin, even though it's Roy. Now we know b'chol hashi yimatzi loy that a b'chor doesn't get beroy. So how do you reconcile that? On the one hand, b'chol hashi yimatzi loy, the b'chor only gets on muchzik. But then again, we just said pishnayim. We're makish the chilek b'chor to the chilek pashut. The chilek pashut, there is no halacha that you only get b'muchzik. You don't get beroy. So how do you reconcile these two ideas? The teretz is this appreciation that comes later coming by Memela, or is it coming through some sort of work that's going to be done by the Yisraelim? And that's how Rebbe comes on to his Zachra. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami Yaktiv Pishnayim. How did the Rabbanan understand Pishnayim? Rebbe used Pishnayim to be makish the Chelek HaBechor to the Chelek HaPashut, to tell me that there is a time that a Bechor gets even Beroy. What did the Rabbanan do with that? The Rabbanan used it to teach me that the way you view the Bechor's portion is not as if he himself is two sons, so to speak. So let's say the father left over three fields and two sons. So the halacha is the Bechor is going to get two of the fields and the Pashut is going to get one. Let's say the Bechor demands. He says, I want my two fields to be next to each other. I don't want the two fields on the two edges of the field. I want two adjacent, next to each other, like a Dina de Bar Metzra type of thing. The halacha is he gets it. Because we look at his double portion as if it's one big portion, as opposed to as if he himself is just representing two different sons. So Mechi Tesei, he should get his two fields to be right next to each other. How do we know this halacha, that he could demand that his two fields be together, that we look at it as one supersized portion, as opposed to him getting two individual portions? It's learned out from Pishnai. Rebbe Nami Yoksiv Las Yisloi. Rebbe, who said that the Bechor does get Beroy Kibbe Muchsik when the Shvach comes B'memela. He did not darshan what the Rabbanon darshan, which was Lase Sloy Matana Kari Rachmana, so that the Bechor can never get something that the father doesn't have. Just like the father wouldn't have been able to give a gift when he was alive to his son for something he didn't have. So, hi, Lase Sloy Man. So, the Gemara, Hushem, Amma, Eni Noitiv, Eni Noitiv, Rashai. It's to say that we view Pishnayim as a gift. A father that dies leaves over a son. The son can't say, I don't want to yarshan my father. It doesn't work that way. He has to yarshan. He has to yarshan the assets. He has to yarshan the liabilities. It is what it is. He doesn't have the option. Yerusha happens, but Memela, nobody asked him. A katan yarshans. It's not optional. It's something that you have no choice but to do. But if the Brisa said, if a Bechor says, I don't want Pishnayim, he's waiving his rights. It's something that has a lot. How do you know that? Mechtesi. Why should the Bechor be different than the Iker Din Yerusha? The Teretz is because Matana Kari Rechmona. And just like a gift, you're not obligated to take. You can tell a person, I don't want your gift. So too, in this instance, the Halacha is going to be the same way. Says the Gemara. Omer HaPop. HaPop is like, Dikla Va'olim, Ara Va'asik, Sirtoin, Dukuli Amalei Plik. He said, first glance, we have a Machlokes over here. If there's a Shvach that comes B'memela, do we view that as ra'oi, or do we view that as muchzik? According to Rebbe, we view it as muchzik. According to the Rabbanon, we view it as ra'oi. Amar Rapapa. So Rapapa went and he narrowed the machlokes a little bit. He said, Dikla v'olim, father left over a tree, and it became bigger and stronger after he died. Or Arav Asik Sirtin, or he left over land, and then there was some sort of tsunami, something happened that caused the land to fertilize on its own. So now it appreciated in value, and it's a shvach de memel. The kuli amalei pigi de shakel. Everybody agrees in that case that the Bechor is going to get pishnayim, even though the tree wasn't so big when he died. That type of memela, where it just got bigger and stronger with time, with age, the kuli amalei, even according to the chachamim that don't darshan pishnayim the way Rebbe darshan pishnayim, still the Bechor is going to get ki pligi b'chafura b'habeshuvli. They argue in a case where originally you had chafura, which is shachas, the Rashbam says, and now it turned into shuvli. It developed. It was a panim chadashas bokan. It didn't just grow bigger and stronger. It's a different mitzias. It happened in Memela, but it turned into something else. So shlufafi v'havri tamri. Art scroll says blossoms and they developed into dates. The point is the marasov hashivcha the Memela. According to Rebbe, at the end of the day, it happened in Memela. If it happened in Memela, the Bechor is going to get pishnai. Rabbanan say, I understand it happened in Memela, but ponim chadashes bo'ukan. So it's for that reason we don't view it as if it happened in Memela. Omer Rabbi Barbrachan, Omer Rebchia, Asa, Kedivrei Rebbe, Asa, Kedivrei Chachamim, Asa, Halacha L'maisa. Somebody paskins like Rebbe, it's good. If he paskins like the Chachamim, it's oichid. Mesaf Kulei, how could that be? What's the halacha? He wasn't sure. Yeah, halacha k'rebi mechaveri v'lo mechaveri. Oh, yeah, halacha k'rebi mechaveri v'afilu mechaveri. It's interesting. So it wasn't a shayla, a specific shayla here. It's based on a gemara in Erevin, Memvavah, Membeis, says the Rashbam, a more fundamental shayla. Whenever Rebbe argues with one of his compadres, the halacha is like Rebbe. We always passing like Rebbe. Halacha k'Rebbe mechaveira. But what about mechaveirov? What if it's Rebbe going up against the whole Beis Medrash? Everyone held one way and Rebbe held the other way. Is the halacha like Rebbe there as well? It was a shayla. When we say halacha k'Rebbe mechaveira, is only chaveiroi in the singular? What about chaveirov in the rabbin? So he wasn't sure. In this case, it was Rebbe k'neged chaveirov. Thus, depending on what the halacha is in every machloikis Rebbe the chaveirov, that would determine what the halacha is over here. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. Also, last is k'divrei Rebbe. It's also to paskin like Rebbe. Because about halacha k'Rebbe mechaveiroi. V'lo mechaveirov, halacha is like Rebbe only when he argues with chaveiroi in the singular, not chaveirov. Rav Nachman didei Amar mutal last is k'divrei Rebbe. It's okay. Because about halacha k'Rebbe mechaveiroi v'afilo mechaveirov. Amar Rav, Rav said also last is k'divrei Rebbe. Now I'll do like Rebbe. Then also, if however you went like Rebbe, also it's okay. Monoshach, you're not allowed to go like Rebbe. Sounds like the halacha is not like Rebbe. But then we said the masa also, the halacha is not like Rebbe. Then if you did it, you should have to unwind it. So the Gemara says kasavar matin itmar. When we say that the halacha is like the chachamim, we don't mean that it's really like the chachamim. It just means that you're supposed to bend and lean towards paskin like the chachamim. Thus, also last is k'divrei Rebbe, because matin k'divrei chachamim. But at the same time, the masa also, being that it's not really the halakha like the chachamim. So, but the if you ended up doing like Rebbe, it's going to be, oh, okay, so rather than go weiter, just go back to yesterday's daf, some of the light agadata, and speak out two short ha'aras. The first ha'aras, at the very end of the Gemara discussed the idea that Fayikasha Yolda Rachel is Yosef. After Rachel gave birth to Yosef, so Yaakov tells his family, I want to leave Laban's house. I want to go back to my father's house. Yeshev Yaakov, the Eretz Megure Yaviv. He's going back home. When did he decide to go back home? After Yosef was born. That's the way the Psukim read. Vayihikashe yolda Rachel is Yosef. Now he decided to go back. And the Gemara said, Maishno ki is Yalid Yosef. Why? Why was it that after Yosef was born, somehow now Yaakov was comfortable going back home? Amalei. So the Gemara says, Ro Yaakov Avinu Shein Zareh Shel Esav Nimsa Elo B'Yadzareh Shel Yosef. That the only way Esav could be defeated is B'Yadzareh Shel Yosef. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'Hoyah Beis Yaakov Eish, U'Beis Yosef Lahava, U'Beis Esav Lekash. Beis Yaakov is like a fire. Beis Esav is straw. Beis Yosef is the Lahava. It's the flame. It's the spark that ignites Yaakov's fire onto Esav's straw. So once Yosef was born, Yaakov felt, now I have the koyach to go ahead and defeat my brother. I'm not afraid of Esav anymore. Till Yosef was born, he was afraid of Esav. But Yosef is the koyach that's able to overcome and defeat Esav. It was after. Yosef, Yaakov says, now I'm comfortable going back home. Now I'm not afraid of my brother Esav. He wants to kill me, I don't care. Now I'm comfortable taking him on. The Gemara continued, and the Gemara said that this is something that played itself out generations later when David HaMelech fought against Amalek. The Gemara said Amalek, of course, comes from Eliphaz, who came from Esav. So Amalek was a descendant of Esav. And how did David HaMelech defeat Amalek? He defeated him with Zareh Shel Yosef. He defeated him with Ephraim and Bnei Menashe. It was always Zareh Shel Yosef. And it's based on this chazal. It's based on the idea, V'hoye Beis Yaakov Eish, U'Beis Yosef Lahava, U'Beis Esav Lekash. I was thinking the Purim story, which Svar Maktoshim, the Rishonim, Targum Yonison already says it, was all a microcosm of a Melchemes Amalek. The one time in history where Amalek took a real defeat was after the Purim story. Haman was a descendant of Agag, who was a descendant of Amalek. Who were the key players that defeated Haman? It was Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai was Ishimini. He came from Shevet Binyamin. He came from Rachel, I'll call upon him. Esther was from Shaul HaMelech, who came from Shevet Yosef. It was Rachel's children. The point is, there's this idea that in order to defeat, there's this idea, in order to defeat Amalek, it's Rachel, but more specifically, it's Zareh Shel Yosef. But the question is, what's Pshat? What's Pasha Pshat in this idea? I was thinking, B'derech Ulai, Rabbeinu Bechaya, in Parshas Lech Lecha, we've spoken out this Rabbeinu Bechaya many times, Yadoya Teda Kiger Yizaracha Beretz Leilahem, V'Avadim V'inu Oysam, Arba Me'eshana. Why 400 years? So Rabbeinu Bechaya has an Arichos that 400 is the gematria of Ayin Ra, and you find Ayin Hara often associated with the idea or with the number of 400. Ephraim's Begamatria 400. So again, this is Torah that we've spoken about in the past. One of the things Rabbeinu Bechaya says regarding Ayin Ra is V'chein Timotze Be'esav. You find Esav has his koyach. He's misparnes mi midasoy shel Yitzchak. Shehu midas adin. Shehoyoloi Ayin Ra. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, you know Esav gets his koyach Esav gets his koyach from Ayin Hara. That's his koyach. Esav's koyach is the koyach of Ayin Hara. Where does Esav come to Ayin Hara? Because Esav's father was Yitzchak. Yitzchak was Midas Adin, Pachad Yitzchak. Esav took the Midas Adin from his father. He used it to the bad. Somehow, it translates beyond my pay grade into Ayin Hara. And that's his koyach of Ayin Hara. Says Rebbe Bechaya, that's why when Esav came to fight Yaakov and kill him, he came Arba Me'as Ish. Why did he come with 400 soldiers? Because his koyach is Ayin Hara, and 400 is the mispar of Ayin Hara. That's why he was going. He has a whole arichas over here where you find this idea of Esav having this koyach with Ayin Hara. I was thinking that in Parshas Dvarim, Perik Beis, Pasuk Beis, Vayeim Hashem Elai Lema. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishnah Torah, and Arvas Mayav. He's recounting what happened during the 40 years they were in the Midbar. He tells them that we were traveling through the Midbar and we were going to go through the Gvul of Edoim. And Vayeim Hashem, Hashem tells me, Rav Lochem, Soivis Ahorazah, go around the mountain. Don't go the Derech Hayashar. Take the long scenic route. Pnu Lochem Tzvoinam. And go towards the north. That's Am Tzav Lemer Atim Oiver Megvul Achichem Bnei Esav. So he's going through the Gvul of Achichem Bnei Esav, and he prefaces it by telling him Pnu Lachem Tzvoina. Chazal Darshan, it's a medrash in a whole bunch of different places. Pnu Lachem Tzvoina. We Darshan Tzofon Miloshen Tzofon Hatzpinu Atzmechem. That Hashem was telling Moshe, tell the Yidden that when you come to Esav, hide. What does it mean, hide? What does it mean, hide? So there's a fascinating Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says as follows. This is a big yisoid. The Indian had spun a zoo. Nira loyma, shem yimotze isha Yisraeli begolos. When a Yid finds himself in exile, in Golos, and he somehow, b'siyata d'shmaya, has ezei hatzlocha ze'er sham. Oz, yatminu v'yatzpinu akob of Bnei Esav. Try not to rub your success into the eyes of the Bnei Esav. Ki ein l'cha umma shem iskanes b'Yisrael k'ma Esav. Because there's no nation in the world that is jealous of the Yidden like Esav is. Halacha Esav soin es Yaakov. That is the principle of anti-Semitism. And everyone's always been bothered, and every philosopher and theologian and Baal Machshava and Baal Hashkafa and Baal everything has been trying for ages to figure out this mystery, this enigma. Why is it that Esav is soin es Yaakov? Says the Kli Yakar, I'm going to tell you why. It's jealousy. Which is one of the theories that's floated out there. It's jealousy. Ki ledaitam. You know why Esav is jealous? Because Esav believes that akol gzula biyadam. It was all stolen from them. In birchas Yaakov avinu, shelokach birchosav shel Esav b'mirma. So deep in the conscience of Esav, thousands of years after Yaakov took the bechor away from Esav, Esav still believes that they had the bechor stolen away from them. And when they see success, when they see a yid doing well, he's living a good life, it bothers them. You know why? Because the V'yitel L'chol was supposed to be theirs. It's not supposed to belong to Yaakov. It's not supposed to belong to the Jews. It's supposed to be theirs, and it creates a kinna. So says the Kli Yakar, that's what Chazal meant. Hatzpinu atzmechem. Don't rub it into Esav. Because if you're going to rub it into Esav, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is it's going to be ma'ir, that kinna, that jealousy, that sinna that Esav had towards Yaakov for feeling that he was duped, that he had the Bechorah taken away from him. And nothing good is going to come from that. That's where all the tzaras happened to the Yidden. So it's Davke Esav. It's not Yishmael, maybe. It's not the other Umayyads. But Esav has a miyuchidiga kinna, thus sinna towards the Yidden, for the fact that once upon a time, the brachas were taken away from them. That's the yisoid of Atzminu Aschem. But I was thinking, al derech Rebbeinu B'chai, maybe a little bit of a different shot. Esav's koyach is ayin hara. So if Esav's koyach is ayin hara, Atzminu Aschem, don't rub it in, don't let them see. Because if they're going to see, what's going to happen? Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara comes from something that's an Ayin Raya. Ayin's Raya. And then it becomes an Ayin Hara, right? You have to be Raya in order for it to be Hara. So it has to start with the Ayin Raya. Satsbino Atzbekan. Stay with it. But either way, that's Esav's Koyach. Esav's Koyach, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, is the fact that he was Yoresh. Midas, he's Misparnes mi Midasei Shal Yitzchak. That is how he supports himself. That's his bread and butter. Shumidas Adin Shahayuloi Ayin Ras. I was thinking, if Esav's koyach is Ayin Hara, so which one of the nations could defeat Esav? Yosef. Yosef is the one shevet that's invincible. You can't start with Yosef with an Ayin Hara. Because Yosef is able to overcome the koyach of Ayin Hara. So whenever Klai Yisrael had a fight against Esav, whether it was Esav proper, or whether it's descendants of Esav, such as Amalek, the koyach was always Yosef. Yosef is the koyach. Yosef is the koyach of Leisholta Be'ena. He's able to overcome Esav, who's Misparnes Mimidasei Shal Yitzchak, Shehu Midas Adin, Shehoyoloi Ayin Rach.